is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's finals week in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Lots to cover in each of those respective series. Plus, the NFL never sleeps with offseason programs alive and well. Mandatory minicamp upcoming. We'll tackle the latest news, notes, and futures markets as well as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM on a Wednesday. Michael Lombardi will be back on the mic tomorrow. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, along as every Wednesday we are with Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN host, senior NBA betting analyst. Have you recovered, by the way, from the Eastern Conference final yet? I haven't got to check on you.
And what, like anger, happiness, just because it was a long series?
All of the above.
No, I mean, I recovered. So, you know, I had the Celtics ticket, put a little down on Miami money line. So you got a little bit out of that thing. I live in a rented apartment, so the holes that I punched in my wall after Caleb Martin did not win Eastern Conference Finals MVP, easily fixed and for free. So, yeah, I think I came out on top pretty much.
Who were you the most upset with when you saw the voting for that come out, by the way?
So, first off, yeah, I think it's obviously Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller on the broadcast saying that Caleb Martin was the MVP. Like, he said it. And then he voted for Jimmy Butler.
How does that happen?
I don't know, but can I tell you what irritated me the most out of everything? So I'm watching, and obviously I took my phone and I put it over like this because, like, I didn't want text messages. I didn't want to, you know, whatever. And I'm watching the broadcast, so I'm like, I want to find out, you know, organically in the presentation. Alonzo Mourning, he was presenting the trophy. He picks up the trophy, and I see him watching on the broadcast, and he looks over at Jimmy Butler, and he winks at him. And without even saying a word, I just, like, God, I just screamed. I was like, you're serious right now. And sure enough, you know, he gives it to Jimmy Butler. So that's how I found out. I didn't even hear them announce Jimmy Butler. I just saw Alonzo Mourning wink at Jimmy Butler before he gave him the trophy. And I knew it was all over from there. So very disappointed. But I'm okay. I didn't really punch holes in my wall, just for anybody's wondering.
But I know a lot of people felt similar as you.
Yeah.
He was a very, very deserving player for that award. He got better every single game. The efficiency didn't seem to matter, evidently.
Right. You mean over 60% from the floor and over 40% from three? That's really not valuable.
Yeah, like 45% from three. Yeah. Like, just
I will say, you know, we talk a lot. You know, I say this. I brought this up with you guys when we were talking about it when they were down 3-0. It is a good lesson for anybody out there. That was, even though it didn't cash, absolutely the right bet to make. And a lot of the times there are bets that you make that are the right ones to make, even if they don't come to fruition, because we, and I say we because, like, I was on it. I know Mitch was on it. Mitch Moss was on it. There are a couple of other people on the network. We were correct in saying 40 to 1 or a 2.4% chance that Caleb Martin is going to win this award is way too low for a guy of his, you know, of his ilk and how he was playing. And sure enough, he was one vote away from winning the award. So I guess I can always take solace, you know, when I'm on my deathbed and I'm passing away. According to one article, I'll live until the age of 141.
Wow.
Not just like me personally, all of us.
What article? Like, what was
it? It was like some health article that said if you're like under 40 this year, there's a high probability because of medical advancements you're going to live until you're 141.
Oh my gosh, I'm in that range as well. Very exciting stuff.
Send me
that link.
At 110,
need more information.
I'll just say at 110, you can end it. But you know, when I'm lying on my deathbed, I'll at least be able to tell my kids I had Caleb Martin Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and he was one vote away. Reggie Miller actually said, yeah, so you know what I mean? So,
Reggie Miller swing
it's a good
vote.
Lesson for everybody.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I will say, though, Caleb Martin has been probably my favorite, if like one of my favorite, certainly, stories that I've seen this entire
Well, you're also a Mountain West person.
Yes, that's fair. I'm a little bit biased there. But just, I mean, knowing that he was undrafted to Charlotte, they got rid of him, and now he's playing his best in his career on the biggest stage is really, really cool. So as we push this forward, the NBA Finals are set to begin tomorrow, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern on ABC. Nuggets, a $4 favorite in the series, and it seems like that keeps going up. Heat, around +310. Nuggets favored -150, -160 on the series spread. Series total set at 5.5 games with the over juiced to -140. And game one at BetMGM, we see it. Denver, an 8.5-point favorite. Other places, I've seen it up to 9. And I wanted to ask you, so the Nuggets obviously will have had 10 days off before game one. Miami, the quick turnaround after a hard-fought game 7 in the series. Heat have played 4 games since Denver last played one. How much is that already baked into this number?
Oh, I think it's a good chunk of it. You know, like, so there's, and we'll tie in the series price with this, because go back to game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Boston Celtics were 8.5-point favorites in game 1. We discussed that, right? The adjustment from game 1 to game 5, was it, when we were talking about that back in Boston? And yet, for the series, the Celtics were $6 favorites. So something's not computing here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're going to be an 8.5-point favorite, have the probability of winning this game that you are, according to the betting market, then you should be a much bigger favorite on the series price. So I do think there's some inherent value in that series price, even though we're already at $4. I think it should probably be a little bit higher. But to your overall point, when you're looking at this number, I think a lot of it is factored in when you're talking about looking at 8.5, the situation the Miami Heat are in, having played a game 7. We know that even with 2 days of rest in between game 7s and going into another game 1 is not the most beneficial situation for these teams. I thought going into, we talked about this after game 7 of the Philadelphia series going into game 1 of the Miami Heat series for Boston, which was, well, just 2 days kind of offset the negative situation of playing off of game 7, because generally you'll see, like, Golden State Warriors. They played Game 7 against Sacramento, had one day off, then were right back into their series with the Los Angeles Lakers, and I thought that was more detrimental. But we saw what happened in Game 1 for Boston. Went out there, didn't perform very well, they lost that game. So it does seem that Game 7 is a pretty negative situation, and it does seem that the market's really buying into this. We're talking about, you said it, 9s are popping up. I'm going to assume that 9 is the consensus number by the time you reach tip-off on Thursday. And you know what? The fact that on my screen I see a vast majority of 9s, I'm willing to say 9.5 would probably be, the number by the time we get to tip-off on Thursday. So I think it's really factored in. I thought that this number should just be about like 8, maybe right underneath it. Still would factor into a little bit of a higher series price. But yes, this is all about the situation for the Miami Heat right now.
Since 2005, NBA playoff teams with more than a week of rest, so 8-plus days, have gone 18-9 against the number. They almost always seem to win that first game, which will be a little bit of a different situation for the Miami Heat, who have started each of their respective series far, winning game 1s on the road. So how will they handle things throughout the rest of the series if they do lose game 1 like most people anticipate?
Yeah, and we always say it, right? Series don't start until road team wins. So thank you. So, if they go down 2-0, not the worst thing in the world, because you have two days back in South Beach or 2 games back in South Beach. And the benefit for the Miami Heat in the long term of this series, to your point, if they're going to, lose this game or not even hold, not win a road game at all in the first two, the rest situation is so much better in the NBA Finals. Multiple days off in between each and every single game. So you as a team, you're getting a little bit thinner. Jimmy Butler tweaks his ankle. Remember at the end of game 7 where it looked like he was kind of coming up limp there too. All sorts of players for the Miami Heat are dealing with nicks and cuts and bruises. So it's going to benefit Miami as this season goes along, I think, to get more rest in between games than playing every other day like they did in the Eastern Conference Finals. So to your point, like how they handle it, they're a good team. They'll have situations. We can talk about the intricacies of the matchups. But I think as the series goes along, it would benefit Miami only because, especially a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's going to have to do a lot on both ends of the floor in this series, it would help him out to get a lot of rest in between games.
Well, let's start getting into some of those matchups, the most notable of which is going to be how they try to solve the problem that is Nikola Jokic if you're the Miami Heat. So what stands out to you there?
So I wrote about this today. By the way, you can find the series preview up the website at vsin.com. So the way I phrased it was, when you're looking at this, you could try. You could try to do everything you can against Nikola Jokic. You could throw doubles at him. You can, do all sorts of exotic junk defenses. You can throw anything you want at him. But the question I posed in the article today was, what if they do nothing? In that, what if you're just, if you're Miami, you sit back and you look at this and you go, we could probably just throw Bam Adebayo on Nikola Jokic. And he's been awesome against Bam Adebayo. Shooting, I'm going to pull up the number here really quickly against him. 63% against Bam Adebayo overall in their matchup over the last 2 years. 68% from the floor against Miami. They've had a lot of trouble, 17-27 overall with Adebayo as his primary defender over the last 2 seasons. So it's not been something that they can solve. But what can you solve? Well, we do have Jimmy Butler, who's a very good on-ball defender who can match up with Jamal Murray. We have Kyle Lowry, who's a very good defender in his own right who can match up with any of the other backcourt pieces, namely Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but they want to chase him around, whatever it is. So what if the game plan is, Jokic, you get yours, and we're going to make sure that nobody else can do anything. And if you look at this postseason, Stormy, and it's only 3 games, so it's a very small sample size. In the 3 losses that the Denver Nuggets have had in this postseason, Jokic has averaged 40 points. In the 12 wins, he's averaged 27. So in other words, put it simply, you have a higher probability of winning these games if you let Jokic get his and nobody else is getting it, because then he's got a higher load on his shoulders. He's taking the vast majority of the shot attempts. Shooters like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray aren't getting involved. So that helps you out a lot. So it kind of seems like not the maybe like counterintuitive, right? Like, why would you let him do it? But I think if you're doing that and taking away his ability as a facilitator, I think that maximizes your probability of winning these games.
So with that, is there any like alternate angle to buy in on that from a betting standpoint, like betting on Jokic other than MVP, considering that's one of those things where he was already a massive favorite, and then people saw the slight disparity from the series price and just betting Jokic, and so it seemed like more people bought in on that, and now the number's at like minus 360.
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's almost like I wrote about this, and you saw that.
Maybe.
So you can find Nikola Jokic.
I was trying to be subtle.
Right.
Jeez.
You can find Nikola Jokic to lead the finals in total points at plus 115, and I think that's a really good way to look at this, right? So it's outside of just the matchup itself. In the possessions in which he's going to match up with Bam Adebayo, as we gave you the numbers, he's probably going to have the advantage more often than not. Then, if you expand it out and you say, what if the Heat are going to go down this path? What if they're going to be able to, if they're just going to say, you know what, we'll let you get yours, we're going to shut down everybody else. And on top of him just being an awesome player, all of that, I think, would lead you to look at Jokic at plus 115 to lead the entire series in scoring. Because I think there's a very good shot, even at just the beginning of the series, if they adjust and change things, that's fine. But even at the beginning of the series, if they're comfortable just one-on-one, Bam, with Jokic and making sure nobody else gets theirs, it puts you in a pretty good position here to lead the series in scoring. So Jokic plus 115 to lead total points leader, I think is definitely worth looking at.
Awesome. And we will, throughout the course of the next 2 hours, get to a bunch of different prop betting opportunities that are available in this series when it comes to series spread, as well as just individual player props. So great stuff from JVT there. We're going to turn our attention to the NFL. There was an interesting headline today that maybe wasn't super like news, but it was notable with regard to Aaron Rodgers and his departure from the Packers. We'll take a look at that and more when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. You can download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. JVT, the Corgi, has spoken.
Yeah, Nuggets in six. Although, I don't know if I count it. It was like a 45-second video, and the Corgi missed, I think, like 13 shots.
Well, the Corgi isn't Jimmy Butler, okay? Can't do it all.
I don't know. I don't really like it. Don't like it. Also, one of the things, the ball bounced in the Heat basket and then into the Nuggets basket. Does that mean overtime comeback for the Denver Nuggets in game three?
Ooh,
who's to say?
Maybe. I saw some props for if there were to be an overtime game 3-1 on the yes. So maybe if that's the vibe the Corgi's putting out there.
Sure.
I'm just trying to think outside the box.
I was just
thinking outside the box. I did have one more follow-up question since we're not going to revisit the NBA for a few more segments
what?
Here. We have to talk about some
That's
other
my identity.
Things.
That's all I care about.
But there's been a lot made of the zone defense and the way that just Denver has torn that up throughout the course of the year. Is that legit? Is that real?
Yeah, I think so. So for those who don't know, 1.12 points per possession for Denver this season against the zone defense, or against any zone defense, not just Miami's, of course. That is second best in the NBA per Second Spectrum tracking data. And if you look at it, just like general basketball stuff, Stormy, you know, they have the personnel to do it. First off, you know, the cliche and cardinal rule for zone defense, we hear about it all the time in college. How do you break a team out of their zone? You shoot. Well, this is the best shooting team in the postseason, 39.8%. They've got three guys that shoot over 39% from three. They've got Nikola Jokic, who can shoot at an effective clip from three-point range. And that's the key to it, too. It always goes back to Nikola Jokic. When you have a big who can operate in the free throw area, right, who can sit in the middle of a 2-3 zone and dissect it and find out where the passing lanes are going to go, or can operate along the perimeter, namely along like the wing near the elbow area, and isolate guys in his own right and then work from there, that's really a lot of like the keys, like the skeleton key, if you will, to unlocking teams in their zone defense. So I would say yes, it's not just the number itself. It's the way that the Nuggets operate, what their personnel look like. That would tell you they can absolutely, I think, give the zone a lot of problems.
Okay, yeah, it's an interesting conversation topic, especially because for the Heat, that's worked to their favor in a number of instances here in the playoffs.
If you want the numbers really quickly, 0.9 points per possession for the Milwaukee Bucks against that zone defense in the first round, 0.95 for the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. Less than a point per possession, for anybody who wants to know. That's not very good. So that has worked a very, very good way for them.
Okay, let's move to the NFL here real quickly, because an article came out this morning on The Athletic from Matt Schneidman, where he writes that back in 2021, Aaron Rodgers' agent requested from the Packers' president, Mark Murphy, to either trade Rodgers or fire GM Brian Gutekunst. So this is after he has the MVP season and they go
This is going into last year then, right?
Going into
2022?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Sorry, just so I can keep track of this in my head. Go ahead.
So it's, you know, it's been a very tumultuous relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's a massive surprise to hear that that's something that happened behind the scenes, given everything we know that he has been so vocal about. What I did find funny, though, was in this article, the interview that Rodgers did, kind of detailing a lot of stuff from behind the scenes, which, by the way, he never actually confirmed that in the article. It was a source that was close to the situation. The writer asked Rodgers about it. He deferred to his agent, and his agent was unavailable for comment. So it's still just a source and never actually confirmed by either of the parties involved, but that's what he heard from behind the scenes.
Right.
Yes. And so, what I thought was funny about it was that the interview took place on the phone.
Okay.
Considering all of the stuff with Rodgers over this offseason, saying that he couldn't talk on the phone because but he's in New York now, so he can talk on the phone because he has better service than he had in California.
Wait, that was a thing?
Yeah.
I didn't know this,
really.
A big
part of the reasons why Gutekunst and the people in the higher up positions for Green Bay, like, were saying we were trying to contact Aaron Rodgers all the time. He wasn't returning any of our calls. He ghosted us, essentially.
Okay.
And Rodgers was like, I have really bad service in my house. Everybody that knows me knows that. If you don't FaceTime me because I have to use the Wi-Fi, then I can't talk.
You're a millionaire. What are we doing? Okay. Look, it's not surprising. This is Aaron Rodgers. I think at this point it's par for the course for what we know about good old A-Rod. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous on both ends, okay?
Absolutely.
Right? First off, the fact that he would pull that, all right? My house is in a dead zone in the back of my room. I can still call people. That's ridiculous. And for Gutekunst to be like, sorry, we tried. I don't know what to do. Like, I can't believe any of this. But again,
You didn't know that.
I didn't know. Yeah. That's a story that's right up my alley, too. Look, at the end of the day, too, I mean, to spin this forward, this is Aaron Rodgers. This is exactly what we expect of him, I think. And I would say, you know, as we talk about the offseason for the New York Jets and what it means, you're putting a lot of your eggs in the basket for, I think there's a high probability of just one season. You know what I mean? So, your window is tight, it is small, and I don't think there's a high probability. I mean, there's a low probability for any team winning a Super Bowl. I think it's insane that they decided to do this. And we've talked about how I feel about the Jets in the market and playoffs and everything like that. But again, big picture, are you surprised? Like, this is exactly who the guy is.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, my thing is, like, this is 2 years ago now. Who really cares anymore? We all know it was a tumultuous situation when they drafted Jordan Love and that he didn't have the relationship with management that he wanted or expected to have in terms of his say in personnel and different decisions. They tried to wave the white flag, essentially, and extend the olive branch when they brought Randall Cobb back for him and stuff. The Davante Adams situation, he dove into that a little bit, saying that he felt like they lowballed Davante Adams on his initial offer, and then they never were able to really recoup from then on because Davante felt like he was the best receiver in the NFL at the time, and he wasn't getting his due. Neither here nor there. As we do push this forward, as you said, to this coming season, there are a few props out there, and Rodgers' passing yards is now available at 4,050 and a half yards over is even money, plus 100, as I know you love to say.
Yes.
Under minus 120. He has 10 4,000 yard seasons to his name, so not unreasonable to think that he could do it again. But what do you think of the number?
No. What's the exact number again?
4,050 and a half.
4,050 and a half. No, I don't think it's unreasonable, but I think a lot of these. So let's look at the opponents are going to face. You know, again, you're facing, I think you have four games against two of the better defenses in the NFL. That'd be the Buffalo Bills. That would be the New England Patriots. You got to face those secondaries twice. I think that's going to be a little bit of a challenge for you. You're breaking in, albeit a system in which you have played in, still a one that you have to help your wide receivers and others get acclimated. A big thing with Aaron Rodgers, too, is going to get that chemistry gelling and ready to go. I think that's going to be a little bit of an issue for him as you move forward. And if you look at the schedule, I think scattered throughout it are some pretty decent secondaries you're going to have to face, namely, especially in that first column, right? You're talking about the Broncos, you're talking about the Eagles, among others. Back half of the schedule, maybe you rack some stuff up, but I would say overall I would lean under when I'm thinking about all of the factors that come in together for that. But I'm also, I hate to feel like a broken record, but I think you kind of said it's a theme with me and the Jets. Like, it's not negative, but I just feel like the market, when you're talking about anything Aaron Rodgers, anything New York Jets, has really, like, overinflated a lot of what you're expecting for this team. And you're going to be living on a razor's edge if you're betting these things over or yeses on the New York Jets.
Absolutely. It's they have not had a winning season since 2016. Their win total set at 9.5 coming into this year. They haven't made the playoffs since 2010. I was also looking a little bit deeper into, like, Aaron Rodgers' numbers versus Jets quarterbacks, period, over the time that Aaron Rodgers has been a starter in the league. He's only thrown double-digit interceptions 3 times in his career as a starter. In that same time frame that he has been starting in the league.
Every year.
Every year.
Yeah, really?
The Jets have had double-digit interceptions. Every year. Turnovers have just killed this team over that time span. And you really, like, go through Rodgers, and if we do, like, a head-to-head, Rodgers over here, Jets over here, since 2008. Touchdown to interception ratio, Rodgers number one in the league, Jets are last. Passer rating, Rodgers number one in the league, Jets are last. Total passing touchdowns, Rodgers number one in the league, Jets are last. So it's definitely an upgrade at the position from what they've had historically. And I think with that comes just massive expectations. How much are they going to be able to live up to that remains to be seen. As far as the division goes, is it still the Bills division in a sense? And or is it more up for grabs considering the depth of the division coming into this year?
I mean, so I think it's up for grabs. I've said it a lot. Among the teams that I'm the highest on are the New England Patriots. So I think that brings the floor of the division up. We know how good the Miami Dolphins can be offensively. Now, I think this is a division that's pretty wide open for the taking. And I think you could very much make the argument when you're looking at everything that the Jets should not be considered the second best team in this division. So, no, I would say that this thing is up for grabs for the most part, that the Bills deserve to be favored. But I think you can make strong cases for pretty much every team in this division if you really break it down to win this thing.
The only thing that's working against the Patriots is that difficulty of the schedule, because I do think there's so many reasons to believe that they're going to be improved this season, most notably the fact that they have a legitimate offensive coordinator.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that schedule is just really, really tough when you look at it. But the Bills are your favorite in the division. The Jets, number two on the odds board in that plus 250, plus 260 range. We've got to step aside here real quickly, but when we come back, we will take a look at the Stanley Cup final matchup between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers, another South Florida 8 seed that's made it all the way to the finals. How those two stack up and if there are any bets to be made in the series and game one that's coming up this Saturday from Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. We'll also have EJ Raddick a little bit later on in the show. NHL Network reporter and host, get his insight onto the series. Don't go anywhere. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your sports betting game to the next level this summer with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now for just $9.99. Get access to everything we do, including daily pro picks on all of the summer action, including NFL and college football futures bets, premium analysis from our team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access and pro tools, like our exclusive betting splits showing you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Start betting smarter. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up now. This is a really good week for sports with the NBA and NHL finals in tandem this coming week. The southernmost championship in Stanley Cup final history coming at you this week with the Florida Panthers and Vegas Golden Knights going head-to-head. That series beginning this Saturday right here in Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. The Golden Knights in the series, a minus 125 favorite. Panthers plus 105 range. That has changed a little bit here. And in game one, the Vegas Golden Knights at home lay in minus 135. The Panthers available at a slight plus money price at plus 115. Total sitting 5.5. Why the clap?
Sorry, I just remembered something that I wanted to do during the break for us that would help throughout the show.
But
I needed a pen and
break.
Paper. It was gonna, yeah, I was gonna.
Do you want one right now? I have a pen for you.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna do it on the air.
Oh, dang.
It's very boring.
Okay,
math related.
Opportunity missed. Yeah, you're always just like doodling over there doing different math stuff.
I
studied journalism for a reason, but I am.
I hated math too. It's actually incredible.
Really?
When I was a kid, like,
you're an analytics person, though.
I was good
That's
at
so
it.
Weird.
But yeah, I was good at it, but I hated it. Like, I thought it was very boring. Now I'm like looking up, like, you know, YouTube videos on standard deviation and all sorts of nonsense. It's ridiculous.
I was not good at it, and I didn't enjoy it. So it was, you know, worst of both situations. You should have seen me when I have to actually do calculations for things. I told you I got really into, during this XFL season, the DC Defenders beer snake. and I was doing like mathematical calculations for
addition and subtraction.
There was some multiplication in there too.
Okay,
thank you very much. But even just like trying to figure out the feet and inches and ounces of beer and all of this different stuff, it took me way longer than it would have taken a normal person to
12 inches in the feet.
I got that thing.
In a foot, actually.
Yeah. Yes. Well
see?
Done.
There you go. 3 feet in a yard. How about that?
As it pertains to the Stanley Cup final, though, I already said the number, so I'm done with that portion of this thing. But two teams that are both looking for their first Stanley Cup final in franchise history, one franchise younger than the other, but still two of the younger ones in the NHL.
One of them is
as old as us.
What? How old are you? You're 30, 30, right? Yeah, there you go. One of them is exactly as old as you.
Man, what a time to be
10 years away from 40.
Oh, why would you put it that way? Come on. But these are two teams that are very much so, I feel like, built to win now. Mm. They don't exactly have, you know, draft picks galore coming up. I think the Florida Panthers' next first-round pick is in 2026.
Right.
So
F them picks.
It's the Rams special here. And I'm really, really excited for it. I think it has potential for a long series. And if you go head-to-head, I have a Vegas Golden Knights ticket. I'm a fan. I'm a former reporter for the team. I want them to win desperately as a Las Vegas native who is born and raised here, which I'm sure you can relate. I would hope that you would want them to win.
Yes.
But I know you're more on the fence than I am. But I feel like if I put these two teams head-to-head and I look at their forward depth, I would give the Vegas Golden Knights the edge, the way that they can spread things out, score from anywhere, and can rule four lines. If I'm looking at decor, I would give them the edge for what they have shown in the regular season and playoffs, the physicality edge that they bring there. My question mark comes in net because Sergei Bobrovsky for the Florida Panthers is an X factor. He has been incredible ever since he took over in round one against the Boston Bruins, 11-2 in his starts here so far in the playoffs. And I think is very, very dangerous knowing what I know about the Golden Knights and their difficulties in postseasons past getting caught up by a hot goaltender.
Mm-hmm. So here's my question for you. And we talked a little bit about this off the air. The performance of Bobrovsky, is that something that you think is lightning in a bottle, has gotten really hot, and you don't think it's sustainable over the course of a large sample size? Or is this what Bobrovsky is going to be capable of as you move forward over a larger sample size?
I feel like it's one of those things where he's gotten into a rhythm. And even though this is he's like a different person than what we saw in the regular season. It's real. I would find it hard to believe that it would flame out to the extent like Jake Oettinger flamed out in the postseason. I don't think that's going to happen. I feel like he has been too good. He's gained too much confidence and momentum for his team too. I think there's almost this factor where the decor is playing better in front of him because he's had their back in so many instances.
Yes. Yeah. So I ask that because, you know, and I'll liken this to the only thing that I know about, which is basketball. And when you look
regression to the mean,
essentially, right? Like, you know, a lot of people are like, ha ha, you know, see the Heat are here. And it's like, well, yes, but if, and I wrote about it in the finals preview, which is like, we can look at like three different statistical categories in which they have, like, for example, against the Boston Celtics, you know, they shot their percentage on wide open threes against the Boston Celtics was the best rate of hit on wide open 3-point attempts in a series for a single team in 10 years. You know what I mean? So like when we're talking about Bobrovsky, you know, are we banking on that? Are you banking on performance, you know, the best we've seen in X amount of years? Because to me, if I'm betting on a series, if I'm looking at anything, whether it be hockey, NHL, you know, baseball, whatever, I kind of want to go back to where I feel essentially safe, which is, all right, the numbers are telling me over the course of a larger sample size that this should not be occurring as often as it is. And with Bobrovsky, when you're talking about facing at even strength, nonetheless, so far this postseason, 194 high danger chances, you know, like that's pretty crazy when you're looking at it, especially when you're talking about it by comparison, the Vegas Golden Knights only allowed 160 high danger chances at even strength. So if they're going to continue the Florida Panthers defense to give up this high rate of high danger chances, and Bobrovsky is going to continue to turn those things away, I guess you just like tip your cap and say good luck. But for me, and you tell me if I'm wrong in this analysis, when I have a team in Vegas who has the depth at forward that they do, do they have 10 guys who have scored at least a goal, or is it 16, something like that?
Oh no, it's 16.
16 guys who have scored at least one goal.
It was 9 or 10 this past series.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Right. So if we have this scoring depth, an offense that is going to be able to pepper you with shots and generate those high danger chances, why would I not think then that over the course of this series that Bobrovsky is, to lack of a better term, due to kind of turn into a pumpkin and go back to what we expected of him?
So I just don't feel that. I don't feel like he's going to turn into a pumpkin.
Vibes.
That said, I think the Golden Knights do have enough to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that he's going to lay an egg like we saw the Golden Knights have a 6-0 shutout to close out the Dallas Stars. I don't think that type of a game is more likely to happen in this series. But I do feel like they're capable of getting to him and winning close games. Whereas maybe in, I mean, that's the thing about the Florida Panthers. They're not dominating teams largely. Like, a lot of these games are closely contested games. They've just ended up on the better side of because of him.
Like, I just see, like, as I'm looking through the numbers now, according to Natural Stat Trick, at even strength, the Florida Panthers have given up 194 high danger chances and only 14 high danger goals.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous proportion. I think they're called high danger for a reason. Like, there's a lot of danger that it's going to go into the net.
I bet the Golden Knights. I'm not trying. Like, I'm not going to.
No, of course. But I'm just saying, like, for me, as somebody who looks at it from in this lens.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I keep finding myself going, like, all right. Like, again, like, in terms of, like, the high danger goals, you know, 16 high danger goals against the Vegas Golden Knights on 160 high danger chances. So, like, that's a much, you know, again, larger or smaller proportion. Like, that's, I don't know, that's wild to me looking at those numbers. Again, I'm not super well-versed, so maybe that's about accurate, but I feel like those two things don't compete.
For sure. I have an interesting stance in this because, like I said, I'm rooting for the Golden Knights. I bet them. I have that series price in pocket. But I also have a 5-1 Sergei Bobrovsky to win Conn Smythe ticket in pocket. He's still available at over 2-1, and maybe that's your safety net type of a situation where if the Florida Panthers were to win this series, it's going to have to be because he's playing insane and he's been ridiculous. I would lean Bobrovsky more than I would Matthew Tkachuk, who I know has taken a lot of Conn Smythe money as well. Random question for you, because every postseason there are lots of discussions about the superstitions surrounding the touching of conference trophies and how that impacts the team's fortunes, all this. So the Florida Panthers touched their trophy. The Golden Knights did not. The Golden Knights touched it back in 2018 when they went on to lose. So Jonathan Marchessault, after the game, was like, get away, nobody touched it. Nobody was freaking out about it. Now, here's my issue. According to ESPN Stats and Information Research, each of the past four head-to-head touch versus no-touch cup finals have been won by the team that touched the trophy.
Interesting.
How do we have information on that, by the way?
Oh, that's hysterical. It's easy to go back to. Then that would also say, again, tying in the
only thing. We got to break history here.
Well, that and the only thing that I know, which is Jimmy Butler and the Heat, or at least Jimmy Butler, refused to touch the trophy. The Celtics or the Nuggets were all over that thing.
Hmm.
Slobbing all over it. So
I mean, people have tried to make argument that there is some thought process to this, like, oh, that team's loose, they're comfortable, they're ready. The other team's a little too uptight, not touching it. Da, 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 da. I don't buy into that at all. I follow The Office, right? I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious.
Mm-hmm.
One of those. So I get a little anxious. I wouldn't touch it.
Well, it's like, you know, the thing that I've never understood is the whole, I think it's more hockey than anything else, but the don't step on the logo in the locker room, right? Because it's on the floor.
Yeah.
Then why put it on the floor?
Well, that's why a lot of teams put it on the roof now.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I hate that in general. When I first started working for the team, I was very, very conscious and neurotic about it. But even like I went to the NHL Hall of Fame Museum, right? In Toronto. And I was standing next to the Stanley Cup, because there are two of them, fun fact. I was standing next to the one that's there, and I got close to it, and fans lost their mind. Like, don't touch it! What are you doing? I'm like, I didn't touch it. I'm just standing next to it. But even if I did touch it, move on.
That's right. Tell them. I have an interview to interview the Stanley Cup guy later this week.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to do it. I haven't earned the opportunity.
Here's something else.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Use a BetMGM bonus bet to place your next wager on any game in any sport. To receive your bonus bet, all you got to do is log into your BetMGM account every Saturday and Wednesday between May 13th through June 7th to bet on any game of your choice. Then add any type of bet on any game to your bet slip and activate your bonus bet. There's no deposit or additional wager required. This bonus bet's on the house. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Promotional offer may differ per customer. 21 and up only to wager. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Promotional offer not available. available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, and Washington, D.C. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In select states, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Kansas and Nevada, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Minnesota, in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. And so this segment that we're doing here, I was inspired by my young sister, who is 21 years old. Okay. She's always using all these slang terms to me that I don't understand. And I feel like at 30 years old, I'm not like that old. I'm not that outdated, but I definitely am with the way that she speaks to me sometimes. But so basically, usually on the Lombardi Line, we do doubt or no doubt, mm-hmm. right? So we're doing facts or cap today.
I don't think youthful. You need to do the hands.
I think you do.
Yeah. I don't think this.
Yeah. Cap. Oh, that probably looked too much like a bust in a cap.
That's I had to explain to you what cap meant, which is kind of sad. I'm 2 years older than you.
Listen. I just wanted to confirm. I knew what it meant, but I asked for confirmation.
It also might say more about me and my immaturity.
Okay, so are you ready? We have a few sports yes. ones, just a few fun ones as well. But we're going to start with a topic that we already discussed earlier today in Mr. Aaron Rodgers. He will not only end the Jets' playoff drought this year, but be the missing piece for an AFC title appearance. Facts or cap?
That's cap. They're not going to make it. You know what? I'm going to say it. They're not even going to make it to the playoffs.
What?
Yep.
The drought since 2010 continues.
It continues.
Why do you think that it's going to be that far gone a conclusion?
Because the Patriots are going to take that last spot.
I see. It all makes sense.
Along with the Cleveland Browns, along with the Los Angeles Chargers and the Denver Broncos and all the other really good teams that are in the AFC that they're going to have to compete with.
Did you see him and Miles Teller celebrating a Jets Super Bowl at the Taylor Swift concert with the confetti coming down?
He couldn't. I mean, Miles Teller is just such a stand-up human being from what I understand. It really makes a lot of sense that Aaron Rodgers and him would be hanging out together.
I don't get it. Is this sarcasm?
Yeah.
Why? Is he not a good person?
There's a lot of stories out there.
About Miles Teller?
Yeah.
Are there really?
Yeah. You didn't know this?
No.
Yeah, I have to look some up. Sounds like a stand-up guy.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to have to get Googling now. See, maybe this is just another sign showing my age that I'm not up on pop culture like that. I just thought he was very good in Maverick, Top Gun.
Well, yeah, so. What was it? He's unnecessarily good in like a lot of those like really small roles in movies you're never going to hear of. Like he was. He was good in Top Gun. It was also Top Gun. Like, let's relax.
Okay, geez. I didn't realize that we were on the Miles Teller haterade sipping road.
I mean, I just said he was a good actor. How's that hating?
In small roles that he's not like.
Yeah, it's Top Gun.
That no one's
it's
ever like heard of. That was like the most backhanded compliment I've ever heard.
It's an overtly cheesy movie. Like with the part where, what's her name? Who's the love interest of Tom Cruise in that movie?
I just told you that I don't even know drama about Miles Teller. You think I know actresses'
names
Top
Gun?
For random people?
Top
I
Gun
did,
Maverick?
But she wasn't like.
Like the corny scene where he like jumps out of the window and the daughter's there. And she's like, don't hurt him again. And he's like. Like the pensive head nod. Like it's a corny all movie. Right. We don't need an Oscar worthy performance.
Move on, shall we? You shouldn't waste your money in the NBA MVP market unless you feel comfortable laying 360 because nobody's winning that thing but Nikola Jokic. Facts or cap?
As a jaded MVP bettor, I'll say facts with a caveat. I think it's just bet the best player on the team that you think is going to win. You know, so if it's like Miami, if you think Miami's going to win, bet Jimmy Butler. If you think it's Denver, bet Nikola Jokic. More often, actually, not even more often than not, every single time, they're going to give it to him. Every time Alonzo Mourning is going to wink at the guy and give him the trophy before it's
if
announced.
If only that's when you could place the bets. You could place the bets post-wink.
Yes.
That would be great.
Every single time. I'm trying to think of, like, who's a former Nugget that would come in and hand the trophy over to freaking Nikola Jokic before it's announced.
So you don't think a Jamal Murray, though, has a shot in this market?
I mean, actually, so this is the thing. Like, you know, I made the joke, the corny joke yesterday. I was like, every time I think I'm done, they're going to pull me back in. You're going to tell me that 20-1 on Jamal Murray to win this thing? Jamal Murray was averaging.
It's enticing.
28, 5-6 in terms of rebounds and assists on over 45% shooting from the floor in this postseason. You know, only has that amount of a probability of winning that thing? I would say absolutely not. But at the same time, if Jokic comes in and has just an average series for Jokic, which throughout this postseason averages 27, 10, and 13, then, I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard to dethrone Nikola Jokic.
Okay, facts or cap? If you're in the same house as someone, you should not text them. You should, like, it's not okay to text somebody from the other room in the house. You should go up and get them.
I mean, if you guys are having problems before you get married, I mean, you don't have to bring this to the show.
Can you tell this is something that's a pet peeve of mine? I think it's so weird. Like, we're in the same house. Why are you texting me?
I mean, I think there's certain
situations. My siblings
situations.
Do it, too. It's
what if
so
you're
weird.
In the back of the house and they can't hear you?
Walk, use your little feet.
Well, what if you you're in a precarious situation and you
Is that precarious?
Do you really need me to like spell this out?
If you're going to the restroom,
yes.
Is that what
you're
saying?
What if you had some TP? You need some. Nobody's hearing you call for help.
That can be the one exception.
Okay, there you go.
That's the lone exception.
Or hit up Alexa and throw an announcement out there. Like, yo, we need some TP back here. Help me out.
The Florida Panthers are giving Team of Destiny vibes. Facts or cap?
Cap, because I would say that the Team of Destiny would be the Vegas Golden Knights, would it not?
Why do you say that?
I mean, what's his face? Bill Foley.
Bill Foley.
Yeah, a title in 6 years.
Yep, he says
here's
that.
The sixth year. They're
before
back in the
finals. Ever took the ice.
Yep.
He said playoffs in 3, raising the Stanley Cup in 6.
And here they are, year 6, just 4 wins away from hoisting Lord Stanley's
Lord Stanley's Cup. A lot of folks do think it's the Florida Panthers, though, based on the road that they took to get here. Barely making the playoffs. It's kind of a similar situation to the Miami Heat where they were, you know, down against the Chicago Bulls, end up winning the play-in and then going on the run that they did, beating the Bucks right out the gate. The Florida Panthers barely made the postseason. Had not the Pittsburgh Penguins just, you know, did what they did. I was going to say...
collapsed?
I was going to use a different phrase, which I'll tell you in the commercial break, which I can't say on the radio or television.
Poop the bed?
But yes, that's the one. There you go. But you just say it that way. Anyway, I just hate that word. But so that happened late, and then they go on and beat, obviously, the Boston Bruins after being down 3-0. They beat one of the best offensive teams in the league in the Toronto Maple Leafs, sweep the Carolina Hurricanes, who, despite all of their depth issues, were really playing good hockey. And so now in a good spot to win their first Stanley Cup. We'll see what happens there. The proper way to prep a toothbrush is water, then toothpaste, then water.
Yeah, I think that's what I do.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I do, too.
The water sandwich, if you will.
I saw this thing on Twitter the other day that it was like serial killer behavior if you put the toothpaste on the toothbrush before water.
No, the serial killer behavior is just going in dry.
Do people do that?
I'm sure they do. Just use the saliva as the natural lubricant. It's disgusting.
I do not like it. Vegas being secretive about Jimmy G's surgery should be cause for concern for Raiders backers.
Of course. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because there's a lot of Raiders media members who are carrying the water for the Raiders and just being like, there's nothing to see here. Like, of course there's something to see here. He has a foot injury, and sure, does Jimmy Garoppolo clearly by the actions taken think that he's going to be fine? Sure, I mean, he believes in himself. Why wouldn't you? It's, you know, you as an athlete would believe in yourself. But there is a reality here where the prized offseason acquisition of Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't see the field, and your quarterback rotation is Aiden O'Connell, who, by the way, this is the best tweet I've seen in a very long time, looks like an actor playing Derek Carr in a movie about Devontae Adams. It's absolutely brilliant. And when you're looking at that, or Brian Hoyer, and that's maybe your quarterback rotation. Sorry, Chase Garbers, I guess I'll count you. That's a nightmare. So, yeah, I think that's a really big deal.
Jordan Love should be the best first-year full-time starting quarterback this season.
Fact. There's two teams at the bottom of their division in terms of odds that I'm all in on. Green Bay Packers and the New England Patriots. And all in, like, as much as you can be on those teams. And that, I think the probability of them, especially with the Green Bay Packers.
If you like their win total over, you think that they're going to be competitive in the division,
that kind of
stuff. Okay.
Look, and I readily admit this as data sample size guy. Stormy, go back and watch Jordan Love coming into that Philadelphia Eagles game last year. The guy looked calm. He looked cool. He knew what he was doing. He's making his reads. I think sitting back and learning everything has really helped them out. It's a very talented team. That's a wide receiver core that all of a sudden has a lot of talent, I think, when you're looking at the way that some of these guys have developed, including Christian Watson at the top of it. And that defense has a lot of talent on it. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me that the Packers are the worst, like the last choice in the NFC North that is perfectly winnable, I'm in. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, last one for you. Speaking of serial killer behavior, eating Pop-Tarts without frosting is serial killer material. That's just wrong. Facts or cap?
My favorite Pop-Tart flavor is unfrosted strawberry.
Are you lying?
No, love unfrosted strawberry. It's the best one.
JVT.
The best one.
What is wrong with you?
Absolutely the best one.
Oh, my gosh, no. When I eat a strawberry Pop-Tart, I eat the crust around the edges just so that I can have, like, the frosting pieces by itself and not have to have that introduced.
No.
That's wild.
Unfrosted strawberry is the best one, although I can't really find it. Although I will say, I think we can all agree, toaster strudels are
toaster strudels. Ooh, the strawberry cream cheese ones.
Very good.
Chef's kiss. And speaking of things that are toasted, toasted Pop-Tarts are actually incredible. I really the chocolate fudge Pop-Tart toasted. Throw a little I can't believe it's not butter on it. game changer. We got EJ Raddick coming up next, talking NHL Stanley Cup Finals. You looking at me like I'm crazy.